Well, thanks everybody for sharing in the prayer. Little company tonight, but boy, little companies can be so much fun, can't they? And I particularly thank all of you for your fellowship, and it's an encouragement to me. We are examining the word church, which, as we, I think all of us have seen, for the most part in the New Testament, is a translation of a Greek word called ekklesia. And as you know, ek means out, a preposition, and kaleo means to call. To call. So, an ecclesia is a company, a called out company, a gathering, an assembly. And I'm going to take you to the Old Testament. You think, oh no, I thought it was a Greek word. Well, yes it is. But I'm going to take you to a book called the Church Book. It's called Ecclesiastes. Did you ever remember, that Ecclesiastes was in fact a compound of the Greek word ecclesia? They just didn't use K's, they used C's. Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, of course, is writings of Solomon, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, Ecclesiastes 1:1. Now, the word for preacher here is very interesting. And the word for preacher is the Hebrew word. Now, all apologies to everyone who can speak the language. It's Kohelet. And that's the word preacher. And this comes from kahal, which means to assemble, to gather. So the word preacher is a gatherer. Do you see? Ecclesi means to call out, to gather together, to assemble, or an assembled company. And that's how the word for this book came about. Ecclesiastes. The words of the assembler, if you will, of wisdom. Let me put it in for you. The words of the assembler of wisdom. So, how do I look? So there you are. There's something a little bit interesting to start. That there is a relationship between the word church, or to call out, or to gather and to assemble, with the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, the assembler or gatherer of wisdom. And in fact, in the Greek version of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, you might often see it referred to like this. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, the word ecclesia occurs approximately 80 times. Now, of what relevance is this to you and me in our study of this subject? Well, what we're learning is that before ever Paul was converted, saved, before ever Paul was given the truth of the church which is his body, the word for church, ecclesia, the Greek word, was in common use, and the Jews read the word church in their Old Testament nearly 80 plus times. So I would not want us at the beginning of this little survey of this word to think that the word church is unique to you and me today. So when we come to the Psalms, for example, in the Greek version, remember, a lot of Jews were scattered around the world. It was in Alexandria, I think, that 70 scholars got together and translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. So if you were to read Psalm 22... in the Greek version of the Old Testament, this is how you would read it. And I'm going to put our English word in here. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the church, I will praise your name. I'll praise you, sorry. Psalm 22:22. In the midst of the assembly. Now this is prophecy. This is the psalm. And it's not writing about you and me and our called out company, is it? But the word church is used of Israel in the midst of the congregation. Coming down in the same psalm to verse 25. I'm going to leave the word congregation in here. My praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before the ones who fear him. There's the word church, the word congregation, and in the Greek version of the Old Testament, they would have read ecclesia. It isn't difficult at all, is it? Psalm 89, verse 5. The heavens shall praise your wonders, O Jehovah. Your faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Well, if you read the Greek version, you would see your faithfulness also in the church of the saints. Well, now, just because we see the word church does not automatically mean you and me. But we have become so glib in our use of the word that when we see it in English as church, then we are tempted to think that the passage is speaking about us. But, as in all subjects of Bible study, we must apply the principle of right division. We must test things that are different. For indeed, there is a called out company destined for the earth, and that's the great nation of Israel. And whilst the heavens shall praise your wonders, the psalmist writes, your faithfulness also shall be declared in the congregation of the saints. And the saints aren't the Christians today, members of the church which is his body. Israel, faithful Israel, are called holy ones or saints. Psalm 100, verse 3. Here is another verse relating to the fact that Israel have been made or called. They are the sheep of God's pastures. They are his people. We don't jump into Psalm 100, do we? Verse 3, and think, oh, this is about me. Now, it's encouraging to know that Israel are the sheep of God's pasture. They are a called out company, redeemed. We read that fabulous chapter in Isaiah, didn't we, before the audio started? Isaiah 43. What a phenomenal passage. I have loved you, says God to Israel. I have redeemed you. I have saved you. I have honored you. I will gather you. I will take praise and glory through you. You are my servants. Israel is a church. They read the word ecclesia for what was the Septuagint? 400 years before the gospel times? Israel used the word ecclesia or church when they spoke about themselves. I'm going to go straight to Acts chapter 2. Here is the word in another use. And it's in verse 47. The believers, those who had joined with the apostles at the preaching of Peter in this chapter, as recorded in this chapter, were with one accord in the temple, Acts 2:46. And breaking bread from house to house. They shared food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, now here is a called out company of people that was dwelling in Israel's temple. They were breaking bread, that means eating, that's all that means, from house to house. They shared food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to that called out company, that assembly, others who were being saved. Now, friends, this assembly here, this called out company, were Jews and proselytes only. They were in the temple. They weren't in the local church on the street corner. Now, because you see the word church here in Acts 2:47, does that automatically mean you and me? Oh, I see the word church. Ah, well, yes, you do. But had the Old Testament been translated with the word church instead of assembly and congregation, you'd have read the church in the Old Testament as well. Does that include you? No, it does not. The word church, my friends, is not a universal word which means everyone who has faith in God. The word church means a called out company, an assembly. And it's up to you and me to determine just exactly what called out company or assembly is in view. Way back in the beginning, someone, because they saw the word church there possibly, and because maybe they did not understand just precisely what the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost represented, they standed up and said, oh, the church started at Pentecost. And unfortunately, many, many believers have embraced that statement. And of course, when we say the church, you see, it's very subtle, isn't it? When someone says the church, i.e. the church, then that, you know, the one true church, you know what's going to happen, don't you? All of a sudden, we've wiped out a glorious and liberating truth that God has different called out companies. And when we spend our life saying, what church do you go to? What church do you belong to? We are promoting, what's the word I want? Turbidity. We're sort of promoting confusion. Of course, we know what the word means. We use it that way, don't we? We use the word church in our language to relate to the meeting. Where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to a meeting which is called church, i.e. a church service. And then we ask, what church do you belong to? Ending the sentence or the question with a preposition, and we will answer in a particular denomination, a name. We'll give it a name. And of course, then we refer to the building, don't we? Oh, there's a nice church over there. The architect did a great job, and it certainly looks, you know, finely, divinely proportioned and designed. Now, all of these things are valid. That's how we use the word. But do you see what I'm trying to emphasize in this little survey? That basically a church is a called out company called out by God. Now, friends, to which church do you and I belong today? Has nothing to do with where we go for service, what building we walk into, and what the name or label is on the building outside. We need to know the calling with which God has called us. That's what we need to know. That's the great prayer. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, remember he prayed a prayer for them in chapter 1, that they would be given by God the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that they would know the hope of his calling. I should start there. I'm sorry. I was going to go to chapter 4. See, here's the word calling. Paul wanted them to know the hope of his calling. It's God doing the calling. What calling do we belong to? What calling of God have we studied out and found to be ours, praise God? And there's a hope that belongs to that. See the word calling there? What is a church? A called out company. Who called it out? God did. I might have offended somebody earlier when I said a lot of the denominations out there are basically man-made. They were raised up by zealous Christians to do something, to promote truth. But so far as being a God called out company, well, no, they're not. But the church, which is his body, is a called out company by God. Isn't that true? Israel is a called out company. Israel is a church. And there's another one that we will talk about in maybe the next lesson. So do you see, there's a hope related to this called out company. Here's the verse again. Why don't I do this? Why don't I change the verse just to be why don't I put that in? Whoops, I better spell it correctly. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his church. What is the hope of his called out company today? So, I've been throwing in a few of my old familiar ones, haven't I? Israel and the church. See? Now are we beginning to appreciate that that is a blinkered statement? As bad as one true church? Equally as confusing as this one? These are man-invented statements that just don't help the Christian to find the calling that is in operation today, because we didn't start it. God called, God revealed truth about it. And the church that's in operation today, the calling of God today was given through one man and one man only. That's through the Apostle Paul. Well, imagine standing up in the local church and saying that. Christ came to start the church because he said in Matthew, on this rock I'll build my church. And I'm obviously part of my church. That's Christ's church. I want to belong to Christ's church. But hang on. We've just read Isaiah 43, haven't we? And Israel, it belongs to God. Every church belongs to God. Every church has Christ as the Redeemer and Saviour. Are we beginning to understand? Every church is headed up in Christ. There's specific relationships. Israel is a church. And the body, his body of Ephesians and Colossians, is a church, a called out company by God, of God, for God and to God. Now we need to know about that. Not struggling to spend all our lives to find out the theological differences and doctrinal debates between the man-made churches on the earth below. A lot of people, they want to change a building and they want to go somewhere else. They've got to sit down with the pastor and find out, well, what is it you really believe? I tell you what, friends, if they spent as much time studying the Apostle Paul and finding the differences in his letters and the great hope of the church which is his body and the riches of the glory of his inheritance, of this calling, they'd be much better off, wouldn't they? All of this is problematical because we've got all these different meanings to the word. different uses. But I'm emphasizing tonight that ecclesia, church, means a called out company, called out by God. And what one do you belong to and I belong to today? What's in operation today? Well, I'll tell you now. Israel isn't in operation today. That church has been put aside for the time being. Right. You can go out there, friends, if you want to, on Friday night, and you can join a whole bunch of Christians and be and wear Jewish garb and go to a synagogue-type building and try and be spiritual Israel, if you want to be. Is that what God wants today? Is that the called-out company that's in operation today? Do you see the confusion? Because they think Israel was just something typical, and now it's the church. And the church has to do all those things because, well, that was God showing something. Look at the problems associated with this word. So coming back to Ephesians chapter 1 and that prayer, Paul wanted the Ephesians, the saints and faithful, to know what is the hope of his calling, a church, a called out company. Chapter 4. Paul says, I beseech you, as the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Paul says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the church in which you are a member. The calling with which we are called. What is our church today? And if we mix the churches that God has called, then our walk's going to be all over the shop, isn't it? We'll be doing things that were given to another church. I referred to the people on Friday night that are doing things that relate to Israel, a church. They're zealous, they're worthy, they sound good, they feel good, they're doing things that look right to them because they can find a command. You can find a command in the Bible and say, look, I'm doing that. Some Christians are even zealous about observing the weekly Sabbath because it's in the Bible, but it's a command to a different church, do you see? Now, what are the instructions for our church, our calling today? So, when we go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and we see the word church in there, well, you know what? In the first instance, it means that called out company of believers at that time. But do they belong to the church that you belong to today? Well, this church was tied to Israel's temple and was tied to the dispersion and the communal sharing of goods. There might be something good in that, by the way. But do you see, it was all Jews, no Gentiles. Whereas, of course, in Ephesians, there's no Jew or Gentile, is there? It's the one new man. Well, I'm going to stop there. I have been known to go far too long in these lessons and I get carried away, so I'm going to pause. And it was a short lesson, and there was the introduction in Isaiah 43, so we've certainly had lovely scriptures tonight, haven't we, and things to think about. I really pray, friends, that this lesson has given you something to think about, something to really meditate upon, that this word church isn't just to be glibly thrown around in our vocabulary, that it is important. And we're going to go back through the New Testament and we're going to have a look at some more occurrences of this word ecclesia, and I hope that this will help you to identify the calling that God has made available for each and every one of us today. Father, we bless and thank you and praise you for our fellowship this evening. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the many faithful saints who have labored in the word to help us all understand more clearly the different purposes that you have revealed in it. Help each and every one in this room tonight, Father, to go forward and to make these things their own, to search and see, to work hard, so that they can walk worthy of this calling and bring honour and praise to you. And Father, rejoice in the confidence of faith that they know and embrace the hope of the calling with which you have called us, each and every one, in this day of the dispensation of the grace of God. We bless you and we praise you through Christ our Lord for all things. Amen.